broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Yes, come into the clubhouse and shelter from the storm. Good morning, Hilo. You're closest to Darby, a tropical storm warning in effect. It's been raining. It's humid. The wind increasing later as tropical storm Darby comes closer. There's a tropical storm warning in effect for Maui County and Oahu. Tropical storm watch in effect for Kauai. Flash flood watch is in effect for Maui and Hawaii, of course. And flash flood watch for Oahu starts at 6 tonight. High surf warning or advisory in effect for all east-facing shores. At 5 this morning, the center of tropical storm Darby was near latitude 18.8 north, longitude 153.9 west, or about 100 miles southeast of Hilo, 310 miles east-southeast of Honolulu, moving west at 9 miles an hour with sustained winds near 50. The storm will be very near or over the Big Island today. Gradual turn to the northwest is expected later today, and the center of Darby is expected to pass very near or over Maui tonight and tomorrow. Of course, the rain and the wind expected to increase as the center approaches. So bring in your outdoor furniture, secure your lanai, charge your phone, gas up the car. And depending where you are, it's recommended that you set your refrigerator or your freezer to the coldest setting about 6 hours before the storm arrives. In case the power goes out, your food will last longer. So now, with that update for you, let's turn to golf in the clubhouse. We have Ben Wright, author, golf course architect, former CBS golf announcer, standing by. But first, we want to thank the people who make the show possible. We're introducing our new sponsor, Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business. Raynor Doors.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise or shopping center, a store or townhouse, custom or single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right, so call Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. And by Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities, Kauai's South Shore Jam. Futurastone. Futurastone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home project into artwork. Futurastone can build you a special place for your friends and family to gather. Barbecues, fountains, water features, and outdoor lighting. Futurastone. Only the best.
Brousseau, master PGA professional Claude Brousseau, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified Golf Channel lead coach, featured on Morning Drive, Golf Channel Academy Live. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. He's at Ko'olina. Liliha Bakery, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Liliha Bakery, at the counter or at a table. I always feel at home with friends. Great food. And of course, there's the delights from the bakery that you absolutely have to take home because you walk through the bakery as you leave. And the signature steak and seafood restaurant. Beautiful, juicy steak. Love the furikake ahi. Excellent wine selection. And the signature vodka cocktail. I finish with the new Fuji apple pie. They've got excellent service. Beautiful view, 36th floor at the Ala Moana Hotel with valet parking. Now, one of my favorite voices, Ben Wright, voice of golf worldwide, legendary broadcaster, author, and golf course architect. Welcome, Ben.
It's very nice to be with you. It seemed like a long time.
It has
been.
Speak. Long time no speak, indeed, and there's been so much. I mean, let's go back just to last weekend. What an amazing weekend at the Open. Was that the most incredible final round that you've ever watched?
Yes, I think it shades Johnny Miller, which I actually watched on the ground with the late great golf writer Herbert Warren Wind. And Johnny was fortunate in that the golf course, Oakmont, was well-nigh waterlogged, which made it easy for him, as a great iron player, to play darts to the greens. But he still had to get the ball in the hole, and he shot a magnificent 63 to come from way back. in the field. But that is the only other 63 I've witnessed in my lifetime in a final round. And Henricks was absolutely amazing. And as was the marvelous play of Phil Mickelson, it seemed one of the very few occasions I could say I was sorry that there had to be a loser. They were both so absolutely brilliant.
They left everybody in the dust. I mean, watching it started on Saturday, you know, and I was marveling at that. It was like match play at Ryder Cup, and it was down to the wire. And then who would have thought that they'd finish the next day doing the same thing with a 63, Henrik Stenson winning 65. Like Phil Mickelson said, I thought a 65 would have won. But
it would have won on most normal occasions, but it wasn't a normal occasion. It brought back huge memories for me because I was actually present and walked all 36 holes in 1977 at Turnberry, just down the road from Troon in Scotland, and the incredible duel in the sun between Tom Watson and Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson shooting 65-65, and Jack Nicklaus 65-66. And I felt very sorry for Nicklaus on that occasion. And I think it's very interesting, Danielle, that Jack Nicklaus said that Stenson's performance was even better than the duel in the sun. Well, I'm not sure that's true, because I think the equipment, particularly the golf ball, is far superior today than it was in 1977. And let's face it, that battle was over 36 holes, mano a mano. I think comparisons between eras are odious anyhow, but they're both two of the greatest finishes. And of course, as you so rightly said, match play with the rest of the field lacked virtually. I mean, Hubert Green was 10 behind Jack Nicklaus in 1977, and J.B. Holmes was, 11 behind, yes, this year in third. It was one for the ages, no question about it.
Exactly. It's what this generation or that generation can say to this generation. Now, that's what we mean when we talk about the duel in the sun. We saw that then. You saw it now. And it's equal, just for in the, different age, different time. I want to talk a little bit about the equipment, the golf equipment, and what we might need to do about it to protect golf courses, if anything at all. But before, let's go to the PGA Championship. Here we are, the first time in history two majors come this close together within 2 weeks. We're at the PGA Championship, Baltrozal. A final major of the year starts next week. And there's a lot of talk, right, about whether Henrik Stenson will be fired up after the Open victory, or will he be emotionally spent? What are your thoughts?
I think that he will have a wary eye on Rio de Janeiro, where he's due to compete in the Olympics. And I think, obviously, he's got the game for Baltusrol, which is pretty long and finishes with two par fives. And obviously, if he has no reaction, he must be one of the very short price favorites in the bookmakers' eyes. But I suspect, he really is keen on a gold medal in the Olympics. And God bless him that he's going, because the boys who have said that they are scared of the Zika virus, I think are pulling or trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. They're really only interested in the almighty dollar in the terms of the FedEx playoffs that come after it. And, you know, it's a shame because there's so much money in the game now. As you say, two majors coming within 3 weeks is, I mean, it's major pickings with over $1 million for the winner of either
or
both.
Yes, and then the FedEx Cup is $10 million plus the winnings from winning it. So there is a lot of money. You know, and it's interesting that you bring this up because I don't think enough attention's been made of, you know, a lot of it is the why, the Zika or the security. And I understand those issues. I mean, if you're, I know one correspondent who's not going to go to the Olympics, and he said it on my show. He's not going because his daughter is expecting. And if he comes back from the Olympics, he'd be quarantined for 30 days and wouldn't be allowed to be near her, something he's just not willing to have in his life. He wants to be next to her, be with her when his second grandchild is born. So there are some reasons I can see, you know, for not wanting to go. But it's interesting that the women, you know, the women are not pulling out, and the men are. Do you think it's because the women aren't as spoiled with the money?
Absolutely. And all credit to the women golfers for being solidly behind the Olympics. I think the women have put the men absolutely to shame because, you know, something... There's enough money out there. You don't have to be so greedy. And of course, isn't enough money on the women's tours. But they're going because they want a gold medal. They're not going for the money. And I admire them enormously because a lot of those women are probably expecting to have children in, you know, in the future. And they're taking a very great health risk from that Zika virus. But I say all credit to the women golfers of the world who are supporting the Olympics because I honestly believe, Danielle, that when the International Olympic Committee considers whether to keep golf after 2020, they'll probably say, to hell with them. They couldn't be bothered to show up.
Yeah, you know, and that's one thing that Jordan Spieth said. You know, I'm really looking forward to going to Tokyo. So it was like, I'm not going because of the location. It was the implication there, you know, implied. I'm not going because I don't want to go to Rio for whatever reason. And he wasn't really specific. He did say about health, but a lot of guys are really concerned about the security. And I frankly can't blame him. It's a pretty lawless, you know, town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brazil is a disaster. I mean, there's no question about it. But surely, you know, it seems extraordinary that so many men have chickened out in favor of the money.
Exactly. And they can afford because they've got so much, their own little army of security specialists. And some have arranged for that, you know, armored limousines and what have you to get them about the place. I was, speaking of women, Charlie Hull had to withdraw because of asthma yesterday in the UL International Crown on the LPGA Tour. That left England's Melissa Reed to play against Team Japan. She played against both Mika Miyazato and Haru Nomura yesterday, and she lost, but she lost by one. And why? That was, I think, I don't know that it's ever been done, that one player in a team format goes up against the other team with two players. Have you ever heard of that?
No. I have not heard of it. It's very strange.
I guess she didn't want to forfeit. She wanted to give it a shot, you know. And Melissa Reed is a strong young woman. That's great to see. On the equipment, which you brought up, so many people talk about, you know, we have to pull back. Jack Nicklaus, We need to change the ball. It goes too far. The equipment, they need to stop making it so powerful that they can, you know, compress the ball and make it go 500 yards. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that the ruling bodies of the game let the horse out of the box, leaving the stable door open. I think they should have done something about it years and years ago. You know, I stopped writing for the Financial Times of London, where I had a golf column for 24 years. I stopped in 1989, and I was hammering the governing bodies in my column for years before that, and still they've done nothing. It's absolutely absurd. They've let the game get away from them, and I think it's largely spoiled it because I think it's lessened the skill side in favor of the physical side, and I hate the fact that, you know, the strongest man or the strongest woman is going to prevail. It seems that skill has been bypassed, and the people who used to be able to manipulate the ball, with the exception of Bubba Watson, are largely in the past.
Yes, we're talking about Seve Ballesteros being as creative and as delicate as he could. He could make that ball do things like Bubba Watson does. Now, Jordan Spieth is kind of the exception. He doesn't hit it that far. He has a great short game. Jordan's having a tough year this year.
Yes.
Any thoughts on Jordan's game right now?
I think that Gary Player is absolutely correct. I think Jordan's problem with his driving, which has been anything but accurate all year, is caused by the fact that his left arm is very often bent. And I don't think you can get any consistency in terms of straightness with a bent left arm. That's only a personal opinion, but I'm pretty sure that that is what Gary Player was getting at. He said he would take Jordan aside and put him right in a matter of minutes. And I think that's what he was on about. Certainly, I can see that.
And so, to conclude our golf equipment conversation, my sense is that what you're saying is they let the horse out of the barn. The barn door is open, and there's no closing it.
No. Absolutely. Well, they can't do it now, but I think they were scared because, you know, King brought, Carsten Solheim brought a big legal action against them, and I think, quite frankly, they were scared off by the golf manufacturers, and what we have got is the result of that. With golf clubs that don't even look like the golf clubs I played with.
Oh, absolutely. And it started with the Big Bertha, which was designed for the recreational player to give them a chance to get it, you know, hit the sweet spot. And now it looks like they're all playing with the Big Bertha.
and of course it has a sweet spot all across the face.
Yes.
So, you know, you can hit it in the heel or on the toe, and the darn thing will go straight, which is absurd, absolutely absurd. It negates the original idea of the game being one of skill.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I ask you these questions about the golf club and the ball and all the distance, you know, that most of us can't even dream of coming to, you know, the 300 odd, 600, maybe 1,000. Let's take the web.com, the PGA Tour, the European Tour, LET, LPGA. Those people, they can hit the ball the distance that, you know, makes a golf course long. And as a golf course architect yourself, the Cliffs Valley opened in 1995. I've seen pictures. It is absolutely gorgeous. I love how you've set that into the landscape. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes. So
thank you.
Do you think the courses are being built within the normal person's limitations?
No, I don't. I think they're being made too difficult for the normal people, and I think that's what is causing the drain of people away from the game, because first of all, it takes too long to play. Secondly, it's too expensive. And thirdly, some of the golf courses are really obstacle courses. They take away people's enjoyment of the game, Danielle.
Yeah, it's true. I spent 6 hours on a course last Sunday. You know, it was,
there you go.
What a 6 hours to play 18 holes? This is a long time. And
yes.
You know, by the time you get home, you get cleaned up. It's and traveling to and from the course. I can see why parents, single people, everybody in the tempo of our time just makes it almost impossible to spend that much time on an event that's not really. I didn't feel like I'd gotten a lot of exercise. I didn't feel like it didn't serve the purpose. I loved being outside.
No.
I did like being outdoors, but I would have preferred 3 hours.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was a junior member growing up, and of course, that was in a previous century, and I started at 10, and I was a junior member at the clubs I was fortunate enough to be allowed to play on. And we were allowed as junior members 2.5 hours. And if you hadn't finished the 18 after 2.5 hours, you had to walk in. Otherwise, they'd kick you out. And I remember distinctly every day of my summer vacation, my gang of kids, we'd play 54 holes a day, carrying our own clubs. And we never took 3 hours. We scampered around, okay. But that was the way we loved to play. And my dad would drop me on his way to work and pick me up on his way home, and I'd get in 54 holes with all my buddies. And look at it now. It's virtually a day's work to play 18 holes.
18 holes, exactly, exactly. Ben Wright, you are legendary broadcaster. I just love talking. We need to do this like more often instead of every 2 years.
Well, that's up to you, Danielle.
I know. I must be in touch with you.
You better get it quick because, you know, I'm only a month and a half away from my 84th birthday. So I suggest you do it rather quickly.
Yes, sir.
You never know.
Ben Wright, author, golf course architect, and, of course, legendary broadcaster. Thank you so much for being with us on the show this morning.
It's been great fun for me. I would like to do it more often.
Oh, good. Then I will be in touch with you soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. Aloha from Hawaii.
I loved it, Danielle. All power to you in your show, and hope you can get around next time in less than 6 hours. It's appalling.
It is. Thank you. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Take the red carpet elevator 36 stories straight to the sky to the signature prime steak and seafood atop the Ala Moana Hotel. Kama'aina specials nightly, like three-course meal with salad, entree of miso butterfish or 16-ounce prime ribeye, truffle mashed potatoes, and dessert, all for only $56.95. Live pianist and happy hour nightly with bar food discounts to half off. And there are 3 rooms for private parties for 8 to 45 guests. For reservations, call 949-3636. The Signature Prime Steak and Seafood.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best. As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing.
Your experts on call.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends.
When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
At Olomana, you could play at 8:53. There's a tee time for you. And the St. Louis class of 96 going out today. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. At Makaha East, Kamailei Academy is having their fundraiser today. So may you all have a great time and raise a whole bunch of money. We're going to go to Maui. And Alex Nakajima is the new general manager at Kapalua Golf. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thank you, Danielle. Alex Nakajima here.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I certainly can.
Excellent. I have thoroughly enjoyed the work that you accomplished over at the Princeville Mackay. Absolutely beautiful. I played it not too long ago. I had a playing lesson. I had a wonderful time. So, you know, you coming from Princeville and now over at Troon with Kapalua Golf, same company, just different golf course.
That's correct. Let me explain a little bit what I did at Princeville. I was there for about 6.5 years to renovate the golf course, Mackay Golf Club. That was a 40-year-old golf course, and the seashore paths fell in, and it turned out beautiful. But now I have the opportunity to go to Maui and be associated with Kapalua Resort. Looking very much forward to it.
The Tournament of Champions is coming up in January. It's almost August, and I know everyone starts preparing for the next year pretty much the day after it ends. So you're gearing up, and it's exciting to see the champions that are going to be at the Tournament of Champions with SPS. Is SPS still the primary sponsor?
Well, SPS is the primary sponsor. However, they're still looking for a title sponsor. Hyundai has been the face of the tournament for the last few years, and they have successfully moved on to Riviera for next season. So we're still in search of a title sponsor, and that could be announced.
I hope so. I've been at the Hyundai or the SBS or the Mercedes-Benz or the Mercedes championship for 19 years. I've been broadcasting live from the media center. So I'm looking forward to meeting you in person in the not too distant future, Alex.
Thank you.
Tell us about the preparations, some of the things that you're working on.
Sure. The minute I started last month, 1st of June, the first contact was Nancy Cross, who is the tournament director on site, and then the just learning about how the volunteer works, the signage works, and the more and more I learn about the facility and the event, there's just so much preparation that goes into it, and then hundreds of people that touches the event. So gearing up for the, you know, in for early January, the preparation, like you said, it starts right after the last event, and you know, we couldn't be happier. But the diving right into it, and that's been taking up a lot of time, but the it's so important for not only Kapalua, but entire Maui and the state. So we have a big shoe to fill.
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. It's always done top-notch at Kapalua and beautiful, and the charity involvement is huge. They make all the difference in the world, the way they come together and the volunteers that come out make it special. And that, and it's always beautiful. How can you go wrong on the plantation course? It's
right.
It's gorgeous, right? It's isn't it the number one of the top, Golf Week considers it the number one course you can play in Hawaii?
It certainly is, currently ranked number one in the state. So it's not too often that, you know, you can play the best golf course in the state. It's a resort golf course, and we welcome everybody that comes to Maui to, you know, make sure they get on the plantation and also the bay golf course too. We have two fabulous golf courses on the resort, and then great amenities such as, you know, teaching center, academy, and we got some tennis as well. So fabulous place.
Yeah, we tend to focus on the golf, but there's so much to do. If you're a non-golfer, when you go to Kapalua Golf Resort, it's golf and tennis resort.
Right.
So in addition to the spa and all the other wonderful amenities to be at Kapalua. Alex Nakajima, named general manager at Kapalua Golf, Troon Property, of course, a leader in golf course management, development, and marketing, and started on the 1st of June, moved over from Princeville Mackay Golf Club at the St. Regis, and you were also at Goldman Sachs Realty in Japan, managing $1.2 billion in golf investments there?
That was a unique experience. With Troon Golf, I had a chance to open the Troon Golf Japan office in Tokyo. And then Goldman Sachs was one of our partners. So we had a chance to be engaged in the acquisition side of the golf courses, about 200 courses. And I was the director of asset management, overseeing the platform, operating platform. So it was a fabulous experience. And then now I come back to the operating side of it, so which where my heart is. So I very much enjoy over in the state of Hawaii.
Yeah, but you know, this Alex is also an accomplished golfer, by the by. He was head golf professional at Princeville Golf Club in 96 to 2000. So you've worked in this business your entire life?
That's correct. You know, fortunate to find this passion when I was playing golf at University of Oregon, came to the state right after Hurricane Iniki. I was talking about a storm today, but right after Iniki in 1993. And so that's, I knew a lot of people from back in the days, and still happy to see those faces and names in Aloha Section PGA. So great to be back over here.
Great to have you on the show. So nice meeting you. When you're out of state right now, when do you come back, and what's your priority when you get home?
You know, I am actually back in Princeville right now looking at the golf course. I've been going back and forth for two times last couple months, but this will be our final move, shipping the car and then, you know, full-time on Maui resident, becoming a Maui resident. So, it's a last push.
Okay, so you're definitely, what you're going back to, of course, is the tropical storm warning that's in effect for Maui and Hawaii. It's still an advisory or a watch, rather. It's tropical storm watch for Kauai. And then we've got the flash flood watch in effect for Maui and Hawaii. Flash flood watch for Oahu starts tonight. And a high surf warning or advisory is in effect for all of the east-facing shores. I really appreciate your time today, Alex, that you've spent with us. Alex Nakajima, now moving to Maui from Kauai, and the general manager at Kapalua Golf, taking over after Mike Jones left. I can't wait to meet you.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you for being on the show. Aloha.
You're welcome. Aloha.
We're coming up with Michael Patrick Shields, one of the top golf and travel writers in the country. right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Liliha Bakery is Hawaii's best. It's the home of Cocoa Puffs. Get breakfast, lunch, or dinner at both great locations, and breakfast is always available all day. After all, it's a Liliha Bakery tradition. Award-winning hotcakes, omelets beyond compare, and everyone's favorite melt-in-your-mouth butter rolls. Ooh. And at Nimitz, don't forget hearty, fall-off-the-bone tasty oxtail soup and prime rib, too. Bring the whole gang. Get reservations for 20 or more every day. There's ample parking in the entire lot. The holidays are here. Pick up those holiday treats. Come on, get to a Liliha Bakery now.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
What do the Symphony Tower, One Ala Moana, Waiea Building, JN's Lamborghini Showroom, and Park Place at Ala Moana all have in common? They used Rainer Hawaii overhead doors for their door and gate needs. Rainer, Hawaii's premier overhead door company. Provide lasting security and safety for your business by working with Rainer Hawaii overhead doors and gates. Great service, fair prices. Whether you need 80 doors or only a small repair, call Rainer Hawaii 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer, Hawaii.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
If you're on Kauai, they're probably saying, what's the big deal about Darby? Because they're not feeling too much right now, and there's a tee time for you at 9:40, 10:50, or 12:20. And the Ron Agar Group is going out, and so is the Southside Men's Club. May y'all hit the sweet spot every time. And the kids, you know, in the summertime, Poipu Bay has this great program. If you're a paying adult, kids 6 through 17 can play at no charge with their parent or their uncle or their cousins, however it works, if their cousins are a lot older than them. And in my family's case, that happens to be the case. This would work. So if you are a paying adult at Poipu Bay over the summer, kids 6 through 17 play free with the paying adults. We're going to take a trip. I mean, I don't know how in the world. This is Michael Patrick Shields. Monaco and Rome and Mackinac Island in May. Kennebunkport, Maine, with the Bushes in June. Traverse City for July 4th. Fairmont Golf Resort near Quebec, the 16th through the 18th. Las Vegas for a couple of nights coming up in August. For the world's biggest travel expo, Virtuoso. Welcome to the show, Michael.
You are a Virtuoso radio host, I would say. And if I'm not mistaken, are you coming up on 20 years on the air?
Yeah.
Sometime soon?
Yeah.
Wow. 2 decades. Isn't that amazing?
It is
what
really.
What you've done for golf in the islands to bring people together. And, you know, when someone's driving to their starting time in the morning and listening to you and feeling good about the sport and everything, it's really cool. It's quite an accomplishment.
Thank you, Michael. This is Michael Patrick Shields, Michael Patrick Shields, golf and travel writer, award-winning host of Michigan's Big Show on radio stations and television. He's authored 9 books, including collaborations with Ben Wright. He was our guest right before you a couple of minutes ago.
Author Boy, Mills, that's a tough act to follow, that's for sure.
Yes, Larry King and Donald Trump. Did you, when you were, I got to ask you, and I ask you this every time, did you expect Donald Trump to be the Republican nominee for the President of the United States when you were assisting him with his book?
The same way I would have expected the sun to come up in the west this morning instead of the east. No, it's still a shock to me. Even a year after we saw him come down the escalator in Trump Tower and say that he was running, I thought it was funny and it'll spice things up for a while, but I never in a million years, never would believe what I saw this week. Never. And I'm not making a judgment on it. I'm just saying it's startling.
I know that. He said, you know, it's like reality television meets politics. And it just is, it's amazing.
And we get part two. We get part two right now because Senator Kaine is being, he's with Secretary Clinton right as we speak, as they're having their first joint announcement together. It's in Miami, and she's wearing a nice, very teal blue outfit, like a Miami Dolphin sort of pastel color, and he's there with no tie, and they're all yelling at us just the same way we got yelled at last week.
What is up with the yelling? It's hello.
I don't know.
But somebody said, you know, if you complain about Hillary yelling, just you know, remember last week Trump was yelling at us.
He did it too. He yelled at us for 70 minutes.
That was amazing. He's on a roll. I didn't expect anybody to get the news in because, of course, all the news programs were waiting for him to finish so they could launch into their evening newscasts.
Yeah,
that'll be the day before he gives up that microphone. What were you doing in Monaco? Monaco. How do we pronounce it?
Monaco. It's a principality in the south of France, and I was there just before the Formula One Grand Prix.
Oh,
so I got a chance to ride on the track and have a look at how it all shakes out, and then from there, you know, it's an easy hop over, just a 1-hour flight to Rome. And so I went to see the Pope, and
did you see the Pope?
We shot 9 holes, and he has a Sunday Angelus where he comes to the window. So yeah, I saw him along with 40,000 other people. But you know what? It's, you mentioned the Virtuoso Travel Show in Las Vegas, which is coming up in a week or weekend or so, and that is the biggest, most luxurious travel expo in the world. And if you've been to Las Vegas, you know that you can walk sometimes 45 minutes. In one building, like Bellagio, for instance, where they stage it, and still be in the same building. It's huge. And so everyone from around the world comes to this expo to tout their high-end properties and cruise ships and hotels and resorts and all the experiences. And they also do a lot of research into travel. And what they have shown consistently over the last few years is that the number one international destination that provides the most satisfaction for high-end travelers is Italy. Again, 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 and again. People come out of Italy saying they love it and they want to go back. So I popped over to Rome, and at Christmas I'm going to finally go and see Venice.
No.
And then I'm going to, while I'm on that trip, I'm going to go to Slovenia because it's right next door.
Oh,
and, you know, Melania Trump comes from there, right?
Yes, so, are you going to go to Dubrovnik?
I'm waiting to schedule it now, so if you have advice, please say so.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's fabulous. I spent a week there. It is the most wonderful place to walk, and just you just absorb it. It's like going back in time where the pharmacy was built or opened in 1290 something. You know, they're still there behind the counter selling whatever.
I'm looking forward to that, and I'll also have data after the Virtuoso weekend as to what the new top spots are. And last year, everyone was talking about adventure travel, and they were talking about not only just going to a place, but experiencing it like a local. And so that was big last year. And safaris were huge, too, for that reason, that people could not only go there and enjoy a luxury vacation, but also feel like, you know, you're out in the bush and seeing something authentic as opposed to, you know, the canals at the Venetian in Las Vegas.
Right. And on the lower scale, the affordable travel, that's why the national parks have been doing blowout business. They can't keep up with the number of people going to the national parks on holiday.
That's a nice idea and presumably safe, right? By comparison.
Yes, by comparison, yes. Well, yes, you can go to your national park. You're at home in the States, and you were visiting with the Bushes at Kennebunkport. How is everybody?
You know what? They're great. And that's in the last 5 years, that's the best I've seen President Bush, the 41st president, George Herbert Walker Bush, physically. Now, mind you, he's in a wheelchair, but he was lively and funny and had some great spirit about him. And Mrs. Bush was in a great mood, too. And my mother, in fact, approached Mrs. Bush at a little party we were at. She complimented her on her pearls. And Mrs. Bush said, "Oh, dear, these are fake." "I could never have pearls like this." I said, "I think you probably could."
Yeah.
And she said, "Oh, no, I've got a lot of things on me that are fake." She says, "In fact, when God meets me, he won't even recognize me."
This is wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes. It'll be interesting. Oh, never mind. Okay, I went way too far in that thought. Okay, so let's go to Traverse City. 4th of July, Traverse City. I don't quite get the connection.
Well, they have the National Cherry Festival there. You know that because you lived in Michigan for a while. But they have the National Cherry Festival there, and it was interesting this year because it was the first Blue Angels performance, which
wow.
they do every other year since the crash.
Wow.
And so people, I think, sadly, you get an extra special respect for what's going on up there when you realize that it is dangerous.
Yeah.
And over the course of the decades that they've had the Blue Angels, there have been, X number, I think 9 or 10 deaths
right.
from that aerial team. So that's part of the tradition of that festival, that every other year the Blue Angels come, and it was special this year for that reason.
Got it. So now I didn't make the connection the Blue Angels.
It's just an iconic, pure Michigan, we call it, experience there because you've got the East and West Bay, and it's fresh water, and it's a gorgeous, very festive place to celebrate America.
And Michigan's done an excellent job of marketing itself as not just a great holiday destination, but also a business, a place to do business.
Yep, there was a big push for funding to create those commercials that you may have seen, even in Hawaii.
We did.
And for a long time, Michigan's travel promotion budget was $2 million. And Florida, by comparison, I think is $60 million or something like
uh-huh.
that. And so now we're at about $30 million a year, which has made a huge difference. And supposedly on travel, when you invest in those types of commercials, people can turn it quickly. In other words, you can see it today and do it next week if you're really so inspired. So you get a quick return on investment. And they're claiming now for every $1 you spend in tourism promotion, $6 comes back to the economy. So I don't know if it's the same in Hawaii or not, but I don't know how much Hawaii has to spend to promote itself.
We spend a lot of money to promote ourselves. You have
really?
To. Yeah, you've got to keep putting it out there that you are.
And even Hawaii has to be competitive, huh?
Exactly. There's so many destinations now, so many beautiful tropical places with the sun and the sand and the hotels on the sand. And
they're not all the same, though, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Nobody can replicate that feeling you have when you land, whether it's on Maui or the Big Island or even Oahu, Kauai for that matter. No one can replicate that feeling of, wow, I can really relax here.
Yes, you're
magic.
Right. It is magic, especially, Oahu, you come down to the international airport, and it's so large, it feels like, but there's still a sense of, there's that, you exhale, and it feels good. Now, you also went to let's not forget Quebec, that's no slouch there, Quebec.
Just got back from there, and I know Fairmont has a big footprint in Hawaii with a number of properties on Big Island and Maui. And this is a Fairmont resort, 2 hours outside Quebec City, up the St. Lawrence River. And it's interesting, the history, because these hotels were built either for trains to bring people or for ships to bring people. And in the case of Quebec City and this resort, it's the Fairmont Manoir Richelieu. And they have a really cool golf course there that's like a
sort of mountain golf right next to the St. Lawrence River. Every single hole has a sweeping view where the river is 17 miles wide. And as you know, through the inland seas and the ocean, you can go anywhere you want from that river in the world, really. And so it's a beautiful place. And for people who want to feel like Europe, maybe, and they're a little reticent to go to Europe right now, if you go there, you get the full-on French experience. You can be in the city, and it'll feel like you're in old Paris. And then if you go outside to where this resort is, they have skiing in the winter, but they have a lot of that farm-to-table wineries and cheeses, and you can have that really cool European feel without going to Europe.
It sounds wonderful. It absolutely sounds. I want to go now.
Yeah, well, I saw goat cheese being made and chocolate.
Well, you were there on my birthday.
Oh, I should have brought you back a bottle of tomato wine because I'd never seen that before. And there was a vineyard of tomatoes, and these people were making four different types of tomato wine.
Wow!
I could have brought you a bottle of tomato wine. I bet you've never had one.
I have not ever had tomato wine, and I probably wouldn't have a hangover the next day, or would I?
Well, I don't know, man. But you know, like I was being driven. This is just anecdotal. We were talking about being nervous about going to Europe and whatnot. But
right.
Being driven back to the airport in Quebec City, and there was a big sign, handmade sign, hanging over the river on bed sheets that somebody had put up, and I don't know how long it had been there, but it said, Dèche, je coule. And I said to the driver, I said, can you translate that? What does that mean? And he says, it's in support of Nice and the tragedy that happened there. And I said, yeah, I recognize the word Dèche. I said, but what's the rest of it? And he said, it's bad language, I can't tell you. No, I can take it. You know, what is it? He says, no, sir, it is four-star bad language.
Four-star.
So finally, I said, just tell me, will you? And he says, it means ISIS, F you.
Oh! Well, I think everybody feels that way. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but particularly the French Canadians there after what went on in Nice. But anyway, that's just an anecdote.
Yes. And my father's second wife is from Nice, and that's where my half-brother grew up. A lot of his summers were spent there. So as soon as that happened, I'm like, I hope he wasn't in Nice. Thank you so much for being on the show, Michael Patrick. It's always
merci,
fun talking.
Merci, mon ami.
Oh, merci, mon ami. Oh, we talk again soon, yes?
Au revoir, oui.
Michael Patrick Shields, golf and travel writer, award-winning host of Michigan's Big Show on 10 radio stations and TV, and the author of 9 books at least. I probably left some out, including collaborations with Ben Wright, Arthur Hills, Larry King, and Donald Trump. And next, it's Beth Ann Nichols. And Beth Ann is where the action is on the LPGA Tour, the UL International Crown. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone. Only the best.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Take the red carpet elevator 36 stories straight to the sky to the signature prime steak and seafood atop the Ala Moana Hotel. Kama'aina specials nightly, like three-course meal with salad, entree of miso butterfish or 16-ounce prime ribeye, truffle mashed potatoes, and dessert, all for only $56.95. Live pianist and happy hour nightly with bar food discounts to half off. And there are three rooms for private parties for 8 to 45 guests. For reservations, call 949-3636. The Signature, Prime Steak and Seafood.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Golf Week magazine senior writer Beth Ann Nichols at the UL International Crown. So good to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you.
You know, you are where the action is. It is absolutely feels like the Olympics with eight countries, four women teams playing in twosomes until Sunday singles, where the five teams will advance to after today, right? Five teams will be picked.
Right.
Right.
That's correct. The top two teams from each pool in one wild card after a playoff.
Yeah. And we've got the Republic of Korea, United States, Australia, Japan, Chinese Taipei, Thailand, China, England. They're all on. And you can see it at 9 o'clock this morning on Golf Channel. This has never been done before. I don't think this has ever been done. And I was just blown away when Mel Reid played against Team Japan alone because Charlie Hull was sick. That is amazing.
It was a phenomenal story. And, you know, I'm sure Mel gained a lot of fans yesterday with her fighting spirit. You know, she didn't win. She lost on the 18th hole. But what a moral victory to put up such a fight. She's ranked 123rd in the world right now. She's taking on two players ranked in the top 50 by herself and took them all the way to the finish.
It was phenomenal. And she had an eagle at one point, didn't she?
She did. She had a hole out eagle on 13 from 70 yards and promptly followed that up with birdie. So, you know, she had the place buzzing yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, talk about attention getter. Charlie Hull, how is she?
She's doing much better. She's actually playing quite well right now, which is amazing considering how stifling it is out here. I mean, it is miserably hot, and she had three IVs yesterday and breathing masks for her asthma treatment. So she was running a fever yesterday, and I've been a little under the weather, and I'm dying. So I don't know how she's doing it right now because it is crazy hot.
We're hearing about the temperature. We've got this tropical storm bearing down on us with 50-mile-an-hour winds. At least it's not a hurricane, you know, and we've got rain.
Oh.
But I bet you wish it would rain. How hot is it?
Well, the last I looked, the feels-like temperature was 97, but I am from Florida. I live in Orlando. So when I tell you that it's really, really hot, I know of what I speak. it's not good.
Yeah, it's the I can't breathe heat.
Exactly. I mean, it's just so humid out here. And you know, I think and there's just not a breeze, not a whiff of relief. So it's tough out there for the players. But, you know, I mean, the Americans, they live in Texas and Arizona, and it's extraordinarily hot in Thailand. So, you know, a lot of these players are used to it.
We're kind of leading up to the television coverage of the UL International Crown today, a full house. I'm just going to go through it, and you can tell me who the underdog is and how they've been stacking up against each other. We've got Team Thailand against Team England.
Well, you know, I think Team England's riding a lot of confidence. And if you look at the scorecard, Jodi Urich-Shadoff is just going crazy out there. She's on quite a run. So she's single-handedly taking down the Thailand team, which is the same thing she did yesterday as well against Japan. So she's really on form. Charlie Hull, before she got sick, she played phenomenal golf, six birdies and an eagle on her own ball the first day. Wow. Obviously, Mel Reid coming in with a lot of confidence. So, you know, you would say on paper that the Jutanagarns would be the favorite, but you know, these English girls are used to team competition. They're used to match play. they've been playing with each other since they were, you know, teenagers competing under the English flag in European team championships. So this is sort of old hat for them.
Wow, awesome. We're talking with Beth Ann Nichols, Golf Week magazine senior writer. Here we go. Next one is Team China against Team Chinese Taipei, or we usually call it Taiwan.
That's, well, you know,
that's interesting. That's,
that is definitely an interesting matchup there, and I would say that because Taiwan has been here before, you might want to give them the slight edge because they're returning three players from 2014, and for these Chinese players, this is a whole new experience for Shenzhen Feng. She'd never even played a match play before until this week, so. They have a little bit of a bigger learning curve, so I'd give the edge to Taiwan.
Interesting. Okay, Team USA had to really come back from day one, and this is going against Team Japan.
I'd have to give the edge definitely to Team USA here today. I think they got a lot of confidence going from yesterday. They just needed a few more putts to drop. You know, they don't want to be missing from the conversation on Sunday again because, you know, they didn't play in Sunday singles last year, so they were eliminated by Korea in a playoff. So I don't think they're going to want to have that happen to two international crowns in a row.
Yeah, I remember. It was embarrassing, you know, to say the least, because we've got some of the best players in the world on the USA team. How about Team South Korea against Team Australia?
I think I'm going to have to give the edge here again to the Koreans this time. I think they're just so strong that they have two players not even here because they're sick, and they you know, they grab another two that are in the top 15 no problem.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they've got an endless supply of top 15 players just rotate in and out, so
That's funny.
Really quite amazing. They only have one player who was here 2 years ago at Cave Valley. The other three are new, so you know, like I said, an endless supply of talent.
And you know, I just looked at the scoreboard at LPGA.com, and they're all square through three in both contests. You know, it's a head-to-head battle here. And Kari Webb getting to play, not making the Olympic team, which she desperately wanted to do, this must be really good for her.
Well, it's a consolation prize to be sure, but yeah, I don't know that she's over it. I mean, that really gutted her. I mean, the best part about it is that the two players, 2-0 and Minji Lee, who will be representing Australia and Rio, are two players that she mentored, and that mean a lot to her. So it's sort of a torch passing moment, but she really thought that this, and still believes that this, was her one chance to play in the Olympics. I asked her if she'd give it another go for 2020, should golf remain, and she said, absolutely not. So
wow.
She thinks this was it for her.
Oh, that's now that I can really understand if she feels that this is it, how devastating this would be, because that was what she was. She's done everything else, hasn't she? She's accomplished everything that, other than, you know, winning more majors and more events. But when you've done as well as Kari Webb has done, this would have been another, you know, the thing to go for, the gold.
Well, absolutely. And just to have the experience of, you know, Kari is just a huge sports fan in general, and especially not having the opportunity to represent Australia in something like the Solheim Cup, you know, being able to play for her country, you know, on the biggest stage in the sporting world, I think really meant a lot to her and was sort of a point for her career that she always said after the Olympics, she would reevaluate how much of a full schedule she would play. She would begin to slow down. So it was a carrot that was out there for a long time, and that she really kept her working hard toward the possibility of competing in Rio. And a lot of people were telling her that she had it locked up months ago, and that it would, you know, she wouldn't lose it. And Suo just sort of rocketed out of nowhere this summer and caught her off guard. And I think it hit her like a knife.
Yeah, when the protege bites you, you know, not meaning to, just doing what they've been taught to do, to excel, do their best, work hard, exactly what Kari Webb's done her entire career. I can see exactly what you're saying, especially since, as you mentioned, I didn't think of this, the Solheim Cup. Kari Webb, one of the top players ever in the game, the modern game, she was never able to compete in that match play format for either team because she's from Australia.
Yeah. Absolutely, but she actually attended quite a few Solheim Cups because she's when Meg and Beth Meg Mallon and Beth Daniel were captains and assistant captains, she would come out and she would help drive the cart for them.
So she was
a car driver, so yeah. She'd be out there and experiencing the atmosphere, and she would have loved to have been able to tee it up because those are so much electricity in the air for those events. They're so much fun.
Inbee Park withdrew from the Ricoh Women's British, where she's the defending champion. Were you surprised?
I know Inbee really wanted to defend her title this year at Woburn, but no, to be honest with you, I think this is the first time Inbee's dealt with an injury, that's quite this severe in terms of lingering. It's been bothering her since China in October of last year, so... she really wants to compete in Rio, I think, she's already won a British Open title, so I think she'd rather represent her country in Rio. So if you had to sort of save yourself for something, that's the event to do it.
With the Ricoh Women's British and the Olympics coming up, are you going? I've got to know, are you going to go to the Olympics?
I actually am not. Well, I will have two of my colleagues will be there. Alistair Tate and Alex Maselli will be covering it for Golf Week. I will not be there.
Would you have gone? Yeah, sadly. So you would have gone if you'd had the opportunity?
Well, you know what? That's an interesting question that you posed.
yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm actually, Lord willing, I would hope to have a child sometime. I'm not pregnant now, but it's something that my husband and I are trying. So that would have been a really tough decision for me. If I had been given the opportunity, that wasn't the case, but if I had been given the opportunity, it would have been a really tough decision because I do fall into the category of somebody who wants to get pregnant soon, not, 3, 4, 5 years from now.
Right,
so
right.
I can totally understand families who've made the decision not to go because of that.
Can you tell me why you think women haven't been pulling out of the Olympics at the rate men have?
Well, I think a lot of the players who are going are younger and aren't interested in having children soon. They're not married. It's not even on their mind. So, it's not quite the same from that standpoint. And even the players who are married, they're not, to my knowledge, they're not trying to have a baby like right now, so maybe they don't see it as quite the imminent threat. But on the other hand, I also think that for the women, the LPGA is not playing that week. That they took the time off around the schedule so that the players could go to Rio. And I think that the LPGA players really look at the big picture. They really see what this could do potentially in other countries around the world to grow the game. And the women as a whole, a lot of them are losing money, quite frankly. They're not out here, rolling in the dough. The top half of the tour makes a nice living, but the bottom half doesn't. So a lot of people in the field that are playing on that Ladies European Tour, are playing Symmetra Tour, they're losing money or they're breaking even. So, they're coming at it from a completely different angle.
I get it, and I know that. And I was talking with Ben Wright at the earlier in the show, and he was talking about the money factor. The guys have all this FedEx Cup dollars dangling in front of them. And quite frankly, they don't, they get enough of a charge out of life and accolades and playing for their country, just doing what they do. And he thought it was the women are doing it for a completely different reason. So I just think it's interesting that we see the women who, are not pulling out. And at the same time, I understand the guys leaving because he's then responsible if something happens in the relationship between the two and a baby's born. There's a lot of responsibility on his part, too. It's tough. It's a real tough one. Beth Ann Nichols, Golf Week magazine senior writer, are you going to the Women's British?
Yes, I can answer that one.
I would love to have you on the show if you're going there and if you have time. That would be fabulous. It'd be about 7 p.m. UK time. If we can work it out.
Good.
That sounds great. It's always fun to talk with you, Beth Ann. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back. We're going to experience the UK when we come back, where the senior men's is happening at Carnoustie, also known as Carnasty. And the man who wrote the book about old Tom Morris, Roger McStravick, is going to be on the show right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What do the Symphony Tower, One Ala Moana, Waiea Building, JN's Lamborghini Showroom, and Park Place at Ala Moana all have in common? They used Rainer Hawaii overhead doors for their door and gate needs. Rainer, Hawaii's premier overhead door company. Provide lasting security and safety for your business by working with Rainer Hawaii overhead doors and gates. Great service, fair prices. Whether you need 80 doors or only a small repair, call Rainer Hawaii 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer Hawaii.
Liliha Bakery is Hawaii's best. It's the home of Cocoa Puffs. Get breakfast, lunch, or dinner at both great locations, and breakfast is always available all day. After all, it's a Liliha Bakery tradition. Award-winning hotcakes, omelets beyond compare, and everyone's favorite melt-in-your-mouth butter rolls. Ooh. And at Nimitz, don't forget hearty, fall-off-the-bone tasty oxtail soup and prime rib, too. Bring the whole gang. Get reservations for 20 or more every day. There's ample parking in the entire lot. The holidays are here. Pick up those holiday treats. Come on, get to a Liliha Bakery now.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Let Shannon Brady from the Irish Washerwoman take strokes off your golf game. Why spend your precious free time cleaning when you can be out on the course? Your wife cleans, you say? Well, what better way to make her more agreeable to that Sunday round than freeing her from strenuous household duties by hiring Oahu's premium, reliable, and diligent house cleaners?
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Roger McStravick, golf historian, he has written a beautiful book, St. Andrews, The Footsteps of Old Tom Morris. It comes in two editions, but you can find it yourself online at thegolfbookshop.com, and there's a special offer, 20% off when you use the promo code DT caps and checkout. Welcome to the show, Roger.
Thanks, Danielle.
What inspired you to write your book? How did it come about?
You know, living in St. Andrews, you know, St. Andrews is a fantastic place. Fantastic place to live, fantastic place to golf. But as you walk around St. Andrews, there's history everywhere, not just on the links itself, but almost street by street, there's open champions. And one very quick example is, you know, at the end of North Street where Tom Morris was brought up as a boy. That's the poorest part of St. Andrews. It's where the fisher folk lived. So Tom Morris, he won four Open Championships. His son won four Open Championships. Two doors from that, Dal Anderson lived, and his son won three Open Championships. And immediately opposite him on the other side of the road was Jock Hutchison, who won two PGAs, I think it was. He won the Open Championship in 1921. He was the official starter for the Masters for years. And his next-door neighbour was James Robb, who was the amateur champion. You know, so at St Andrews, there's absolutely history everywhere, and I just kind of wanted to bring that to light.
Just for the casual follower of golf, old Tom Morris is the dad, and young Tom Morris is his son. Aren't they buried in the same graveyard?
They are indeed. They are indeed, and it's a really poignant, sort of beautiful spot. You know, because there's so much emotion attached with Tom, the father, and Tommy, the son. You know, they'll be the only ever father and son to ever come first and second in the Open Championship. And there's a beautiful statue for Tommy. Tommy died very young. Tommy was an absolute phenomenon. And by phenomenon, you know, he was miles ahead of anyone else. He won 3 Open Championships as a teenager. And thereby, they were playing at that time for a challenge belt, a red leather belt. And so in 71, they didn't have a tournament, 1871, because they had no trophy. So in 1872, they came back with what would ultimately be the claret jug.
Wow.
And Tommy won that as well. So he won the 4 events in a row. And the first name, ultimately, on that trophy was Tommy Morris's.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, we in America, we feel somehow some draw to St. Andrews. There's, and to the whole Scottish world. And I don't know what it is. You know, I'm sure that Arnold Palmer kind of brought it to when he went and played in the UK. He made
it. Oh, absolutely. And there's a really lovely bond even to today. You know, and when Palmer came, he famously never did anything other than use Tip Anderson, who was, you know, a St Andrews caddy. And there's a seat in the Dunvegan Hotel that has a little plaque behind it, and that's where Tip Anderson always. That was his seat. But whenever Palmer came to St Andrews, he always went to Tip, and the reason he went to Tip was because Tip knew the course better than anyone. So there was no point bringing someone over who could walk the yardage, you know, where Tip knew every bump, you know, on the course, you know. So, but there is a lovely, lovely link, even to today. You know, I really enjoy meeting groups of golfers and having dinner with them and talking about golf history, you know. So they are, it's a special relationship there. And there's the last group I saw. And they were a lovely group, and there was 8 of them, and they were over for, what happened was their friend was unfortunately dying of cancer, and they said to me, you know, what do you want to do? And he says, I really want to go to St Andrews. And they said, okay, we'll make it happen. But the closer they got, they realized he wasn't going to make it, and unfortunately he passed away in February this year. And what he said to them, he said, you know, guys, when the sun is shining down upon you, you'll know that I'm at the foot of Jesus.
Oh.
But Danielle, I have never seen worse weather in my life. Oh. It was hail, it was snow, it was storm. They couldn't see the course, you know. And the guys had a real laugh about it. They were kind of saying, you know, he must have stood on the foot of Jesus, never mind sitting at the foot of Jesus, you know. So, but there's a lovely, lovely bond, and they all had a real laugh about it, you know. So, and a great, great group, and I'm sure he was there in spirit with him, and obviously having a laugh because it was a foggy week, unfortunately.
Roger McStravick is a golf historian, and he's in several books. One in the works, one is already published, but this is special. It's called St. Andrews in the Footsteps of Old Tom Morris, and how many people get a foreword by His Royal Highness Prince Andrew? Not very many. What inspired the prince to write a foreword for you?
It's a wonderful foreword. It really is. You know, I couldn't believe it when the you know, the letter came through the postbox, and I can still see myself standing there and seeing the royal insignia on the letter. Yeah. As, you know, it was on the floor when it had just been posted through the door, and just an incredible moment for the family. And I phoned home to tell my parents at the time, you know, to say, you know, share the good news. And my dad came on the phone, and my dad is, you know, we're a very close family, and he's so supportive, but he is a wee bit hard of hearing, you know. And I said, oh, Dad, I've got this letter today from Buckingham Palace. And he said, oh, you have not. I said, oh, I have. And he said to my mum, oh, Hillary, who was sitting beside him, Roger's got a letter from Bucky McCallum. And I could hear my mum saying, who's Bucky McCallum? And my dad going, I don't know. And my mum came on the phone and I said, oh, mum, it's not Bucky McCallum, it's Buckingham Palace. And she was so delighted. My mum is a big fan of the royal family and she couldn't have been prouder. So it wasn't a big moment just for me, it was my whole family. We're just, you know, so honoured, really.
Oh,
you wrote a wonderful foreword. And apologies if there's anybody out there listening called Bucky McCallum.
No, it's okay.
I'd love to hear.
How often is the royal... I was just thinking, how often is the royal seal on the floor? You know, because, you know, the letter going down onto the ground, that's you know, you would have gone, wait a minute, look at that, what's it doing? You know, it's...
Yeah.
But also, in your the accolades for your book and the awards that you've won, the USGA Herbert Warren Wind Award. In fact, earlier this morning, I was talking with, it's interesting how all things tie together. Ben Wright was on the show with me earlier, and he walked with Herbert Warren Wind during the Duel in the Sun. We were talking about the Open, right? So here you are, USGA's Herbert Warren Wind Award winner, and also the British Golf Collectors Society's Murdoch Medal, the highest British honor for golf literature. You've won both of these awards for St. Andrews in the Footsteps of Old Tom Morse. What an amazing honor.
It is an incredible honor. I'm sort of still in a little bit of denial, but... So incredibly honored, and I have to say, when I was in San Diego in February to pick up the Herbert Warren Wind Award, the USGA looked after me so very well, and that also took me to the Masters, which is just incredible. I was at the writers' dinner there, which was phenomenal, and then during the Open there to pick up the Murdoch Medal, which is a beautiful sort of oval silver medal. So incredible honor, you know, and I just hope. What I wanted to do with the book was to bring the sort of the history of St. Andrews to life, you know, and so there's lots of beautiful images there that people wouldn't have seen before. Lots of photographs of the links in the 1800s, the 1848, I think, that was one of the nice new finds in the research. We kind of knew Tom Morris had gone on his own business-wise in 1848, but nothing else. And in the university archives, there was a box, and this is, you know, this is why I feel, you know, I was just in the right place at the right time. At the university, Katrina came over and said, we have a box called St. Andrews Links, but kind of nobody really knows what it is. Would you like to have a look at it?
Wow.
I got the box. Honestly, I had to pull the jumper over my head. I couldn't believe it. I was just nearly wanted to scream when I saw it. It basically was the receipts. St. Andrews was very run down in the 1830s, and in this box were the receipts to pay a carter to take all the rubbish from the town and dump it on the West Sands beach. And then part of that also was to cover that up with soil, and that effectively was the first hole. And that's why the first hole is like a billiard table, is because that's, you know, it's all reclaimed land. The beach itself used to come up the narrowest point of the fairway, and you think of the fairway is about 165 yards now or so, if not more, you know, if you think of the 18th and the first. Well, the first at its narrowest was about 80 yards, and they were genuinely worried that they were going to lose what was their 18th and first hole. So there's beautiful, beautiful photographs that show the course as it was, you know, before some of the land reclamation work, and it's just beautiful. And the great thing about St. Andrews is, you know, very little has changed in some ways. You know, you still see some of the familiar architecture. And I think that's why people find it kind of special, because they look at an old black and white photograph and suddenly, you know, they're on the first tee. And I think George Bush Sr. said one of the most nervous he ever felt was standing on the first tee in St. Andrews. And it's just this beautiful, beautiful arena. And there's just history everywhere.
This is all inside the golfbookshop.com. It's St. Andrews in the Footsteps of Old Tom Morris. That's the book. You've got to go to thegolfbookshop.com to see this book. It's special because of the quality of the paper, the pictures, the photographs just jump out at you. It's beautiful. old Tom Morris was the best golfer in the world. He had the highest winning margin. He was the oldest winner. He was a designer and redesigner of 100 golf courses. Huge. Now, I want you to come to the States, Roger McStravick, author, because that would be fabulous if you did a lecture tour.
Yeah, no, I'd absolutely, I'd love to. And I really love that idea of sort of Charles Dickens-type lecture tour, you know, bringing all these beautiful photographs and stories and, you know, to people who may not be able to make it to St. Andrews. And I really love that idea, bringing, you know, letting people know, you know, really, why do people still talk about old Tom? You know, why are there still books? Pete Georgiadi brought out a book about Tom Morris just a few months ago. And, you know, people are continually bringing out books about him. You know, he's one of Scotland's greatest icons. But as you say, you know, the record is just incredible for Tom Morris.
And yeah.
You know, he when he won the Open in 62 for the second time, he won it by 13 shots. And that's still the largest margin of victory. When he won in 67, he was 46 years old, and he was the oldest winner of the Open, you know.
So there's hope for Tiger Woods.
There is hope for Tiger. And you know what? I would love Tiger Woods to win another major.
Me too.
For me, when I talk about phenomenon, you know, he was the guy that jumped into my head, because he ran up 13 majors in a heartbeat, it felt like. And, you know, the guys today are very, very good. But it's difficult to see any of them reaching 13 majors, you know. So, you never know. You never know.
Roger McStravick, it's a pleasure talking with you. Roger McStravick, St. Andrews in the Footsteps of Old Tom Morris. I want this to be a movie. We don't have time to talk about it, but I want this to be a movie. I can see this done. I mean, if the BBC got a hold of this, the BBC production qualities are just so supreme. But a lot of companies do an excellent job. They make it look like it was today, but everything is from yesterday. So, I mean, you know what I mean? It would be fabulous.
You know, absolutely. And you know what? It has been optioned for a film, and fingers crossed, we'll bring the story of Tom Morris to life. You know, that's what I'd really like to do, you know.
Well, let's
people
talk
can find
again.
Out who the real Tom Morris is.
I want the historian, the golf historian, Roger McStravick, to be a regular guest on the show. Can you do that?
Oh, I'd love to. Absolutely love to.
Excellent. And I need to thank the people who make this show possible now. Thank you, Roger, for joining us.
No, pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. By the way, you know, Roger McStravick has created a promo code on checkout at thegolfbookshop.com. So if you would like to get it, there's a special offer of 20% off when you use the promo code DT in caps. Thank you for making the Golf Club possible. Introducing our new sponsor, Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, providing lasting security and safety for your business. Raynor Doors. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year. Vision 54 coach and Aimpoint certified. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau at Ko'olina. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. And this summer, with a paying adult, a child 6 to 17 can play free. Lady Ha Bakery, always perfect breakfast, lunch, and dinner, whatever you're hungry for. Lady Ha Bakery, at the counter or at a table, always feel at home with friends and great food. And then, of course, there's something to buy that you've got to go home with from the bakery. Futurastone, Futurastone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your company, or your home project into artwork. Futurastone, only the best. Creative Plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, it doesn't matter. Call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. If it's a brand new installation, a brand new construction, if it's a renovation, Call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. And the signature steak and seafood restaurant, beautiful juicy steak. Love the furikake ahi. It's beautifully done. Excellent wine selection and the signature vodka cocktail. And you can finish with that new Fuji apple pie a la mode. Thank you to the Irish Washerwoman personalized house and condo cleaning that makes you go, wow, every time you walk into a room cleaned by the Irish Washerwoman. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.